friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young. Welcome to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. It's the 12th day of action at the International Football Festival in Russia. And if we divide 12 by 2, that's the number of teams that already have secured passage to the knockout stage. In alphabetical order, the 6 teams are Belgium, Croatia, England, France, host Russia, and Uruguay. In results Monday, Uruguay defeated Russia 3-0 in Samara, and Saudi Arabia defeated Egypt 2-1 in Volgograd, Russia. Barcelona star Luis Suarez opened the scoring for Uruguay with a goal in the 10th minute. In the 23rd minute, a man who had been the hero for Russia in its 2 World Cup wins, Denis Cheryshev, played an unfortunate role in the host country going 2 goals down. A Diego Laxalt shot deflected off Cheryshev and ended up in the net, and it went into the books as an own goal by Cheryshev. Edinson Cavani sealed the victory for Uruguay with a goal in the 90th minute. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Paris Saint-Germain man Cavani. He becomes the 2nd Uruguayan player after Luis Suarez to score in 3 World Cups. Meanwhile, Salem Adawasari scored a late goal for the Saudis to lift the team to a 2-1 victory Monday over the Egyptians. Mo Salah, the 2017 African Footballer of the Year for Liverpool and Egypt, opened the scoring in the 10th minute. Salman Al-Faraj equalized for the Saudis on a penalty shot just before halftime, before the late-game heroics from Salem Adawasari. In the Group A standings, Uruguay finishes with the maximum 9 points from 3 matches. Host Russia is next with 6 points, followed by Saudi Arabia with 3 points, and Egypt with no points. Once again, Uruguay and Russia are through to the knockout stage. And here's another fun World Cup fact for our Voice of America listeners. Egyptian goalkeeper Essam El Hadary became the oldest World Cup player in history Monday when he started against the Saudis. At 45 years and 161 days old, El Hadary is older than 3 of the managers at the 2018 World Cup. 44-year-old Roberto Martinez, who is managing Belgium. 44-year-old Mladen Krstajic, who is managing Serbia. And 42-year-old Aliou Cisse, who is managing Senegal. El Hadary also showed off his considerable experience and skills against the Saudis, especially in the 41st minute when he produced a stunning save. El Hadary dove to his right and stopped a penalty kick by Saudi striker Fahad Amouwalad. In World Cup results Sunday, England pounded Panama 6-1, with Tottenham star Harry Kane getting a hat trick for the 3 Lions. Colombia defeated Poland 3-0, while Japan and Senegal drew 2-2. For reaction to the Japan-Senegal match, as well as more World Cup news, here's my Voice of America colleague, Gwen Ooten. Sporty World Cup greetings, Gwen.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sonny. Well, call it even Steven. Fans from both Senegal and Japan left the stadium in jubilation Sunday after their Group H match ended in a 2-2 draw.
Senegal! Senegal!
Oh, nice. I mean, both teams had chances, and it could have been anybody's game, you know. Though Senegal let Japan in because they were playing another tactics before, but it's all good. Both teams will do well.
Nipa!
Must be a very difficult game. Poland must be a very good and tough team. So I think Japan should or must do the same or more than this game in Volgograd against Poland. I think so.
Japan twice came from behind to prove themselves worthy opponents in this tournament. Japan will face Poland in their final group match on Thursday. Senegal gave up their 2-1 lead late in the game, but their supporters were still in good spirits and looking forward to their next match against Colombia also on Thursday. And as players from both countries shared a draw on the field, fans on both sides shared a win off the field. I mentioned last week that two videos went viral of Japanese and Senegalese fans tidying up the stadium following their matches. Well, they were at it again on Sunday, united in Ekaterinburg Stadium with the common goal of leaving things just as they found it.
Because this is means from our minds, so it's thanks for stadium. So because we get a big fan from stadium, we have to clean for our Japanese mind. It means like some michi. Yes, michi means the road of human mind.
We have to do that. We have to show the world that we are doing something nice. You know, we don't come here to leave the rubbish here. You know, we have to take it out after every game, you know, to show the world that we are nice people. You know, when we do that, next time, wherever we go, we have good reception. That's why we are doing it.
I think it's fair to say that Senegal and Japan have some of the classiest fans in football. I want to also mention that last week, Mohamed Salah was given honorary citizenship in the Russia's Chechnya Republic by their leader, Ramzan Kadyrov. The Chechen capital, Grozny, has played host to Egypt's training camp. And leading up to the World Cup, Kadyrov seized on opportunities to appear alongside Salah. It was reported Salah was angry at being singled out for special attention during the team's stay and would consider quitting international football. The Egyptian Football Association has since shot down those reports, saying Mo Salah has not informed Egypt of any plans to retire. Ahead of Monday's match between Egypt and Saudi Arabia, loyal fans adamantly declared that their nation needs Mo Salah.
I hope it will not be the last match with him, for him in the Egyptian team, because we depend on him in most of the matches and most of everything. So I think we must find a solution for this issue.
Mohamed Salah is very Egyptian. And what happened, I think it's just something in the media. He's a very, very good man, and he's a very, very good person, inside and out. And all of the world, you know, all the world know about Mo Salah. So he's the best player for me now in the world. So I wish him a very good luck, and he will do great today.
And I also wish Mo Salah good luck after his first World Cup. And that's all from me. I'll hand it back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And once again, Mo Salah had a goal on Monday, but it was not enough as the Egyptians lost to Saudi Arabia 2-1 in the final match for both teams at the 2018 World Cup in Russia. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Super Eagles of Nigeria have a crucial World Cup match Tuesday against Argentina. The Super Eagles are coming off a big win over Iceland, as we hear now from reporter Prince Nesta. Sporty World Cup greetings, Prince.
Sporty World Cup greetings, Sunny. It is important to inform our VOA listeners how things went down in Nigeria's last match as they finally found their rhythm, thumping Iceland 2-0 in a mouth-watering clash.
Okocha need a goal,
Okocha ni Diego. Okocha number 10. Okocha ni Diego. Okocha. Zabu zabu eyimba ey.
There was excitement, adrenaline rush, and uncertainty as fans turned up in large numbers to watch the clash. It was a slow start to the game, with less chances created in the first half. Iceland dominated the first half, much to the disgust of Nigerian fans who appeared less spirited and less optimistic.
So far, are you contented with the way Nigeria is playing?
No shots on goal yet, so I'm not content right now. You know, comfortably tense.
I'm not really happy the way they're playing. And like Nigeria needs a result here. So if they get 3 points here, that would be like really a good result.
Come the hour, come the man. 25-year-old striker Ahmed Musa viciously finished off a smooth counter-attack, throwing Nigerian fans into a frenzy, much to the disbelief of Iceland fans.
Musa is the man. Look at the superlative touch.
It was more seventh heaven and pure bliss for the Nigerian fans as Ahmed Musa scored again to make it 2-0.
Happy! Finally! Speed! They can't hang with us! Speed! Musa broke the whole team!
And questions arise about the application of VAR technology in football matches when Nigeria conceded a late penalty. Unsurprisingly, Nigerian fans led the pack in condemning the use of the technology after the review clearly confirmed that it was a penalty. When Gylfi Sigurdsson fired over the bar, Nigerian fans were back in full praise of the technology.
Do you think that's a penalty?
Yeah. Replay. Like after replay, yes.
Well, that's why the VAR is not necessary in the World Cup. We don't need the VAR in the World Cup. We need the human side of the game.
What if it would have been in your favor?
Then we will reconsider our opinions.
During the last minutes of the game, most Nigerian fans transformed themselves from just fans to soccer coaches, issuing directions to Nigerian players.
It's okay.
The match finally ended 2-0 in favor of Nigeria, who will be hoping to inflict misery on Argentina tomorrow as they hope to qualify for the round of 16. Well, we asked Nigerian fans about their views on what the Nigerian soccer team should do in order to win the match against Argentina.
They are yet to face Argentina. How should they play? What should they do right?
Play on their weaknesses. Argentina right now is probably more hungry. I mean, considering how they've been playing so far, they probably want it more than Nigeria.
Are you anticipating a win against Argentina?
I think we can. I think we can beat Argentina. We beat them 4-2 in a friendly prior to the World Cup. I think this team plays where they play today in the second half. We have a chance.
I feel like we can get a really, really good result against them, maybe a 2-0 or a 2-1, and we'll go to the round of 16.
Is Musa better than Messi in this World Cup?
Let Messi and Ronaldo play together. Messi and Ronaldo on the same team. Play us next week. Pick a place. Golden boots. We're going for golden boots. Forget all this Messi and Ronaldo. Golden boots.
I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. With a look back at Sunday's World Cup results, here's our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We'll begin with the summary of actions on match day 11 at the 2018 FIFA World Cup here in Russia. Senegal missed the chance to put themselves in a good position to qualify for the round of 16 as they were forced to a 2-2 draw by Japan in Group H of the Russia 2018 FIFA World Cup on Sunday. Both teams are now on 4 points after two games, with Senegal facing Colombia in their final group game, while Japan will take on Poland, both on Thursday. I spoke to some journalists covering the World Cup. This is what they had to say about Senegal's performance.
I think this result, 2-2 draw, makes the group very interesting because, as you know, Japan beat Colombia 2-1 in the first match. Senegal beat Poland by a similar scoreline in the first match, in their first match of the group. So it means both teams are level on 4 points, same goal aggregate, number of goals scored and number of goals conceded is the same. So this result makes the group very exciting.
Well, I think it's not such a good result for Senegal, but I'm sure they are happy that they have avoided a defeat in this game.
I mean, you don't take the lead twice and give the lead away. Then if you are not able to defend, you have no business at the World Cup. If it's unfortunate that Senegal get eliminated from the tournament, and they will look back to this game with a lot of disappointment, and they will have to know that their campaign ended in this particular game here. At this level, we've got to be able to understand how to defend, how to keep your lines, how to run down the clock.
Senegal star forward Sadio Mane claimed the Budweiser Man of the Match award after getting on the score sheet in Sunday's 2-2 draw against Japan in Group H of the Russia 2018 FIFA World Cup. In the other game, Harry Kane netted a hat-trick as England trashed Panama 6-1 in an emphatic victory in the World Cup Group G at the Nizhny Novgorod Stadium. Gareth Southgate's side scored 5 times in an astonishing first-half display, with Panama simply unable to compete. Harry Kane was voted as the man of the match.
I feel great, I feel good. Obviously buzzing from the game, amazing result, 6-1. Just delighted, obviously through. That was our goal, that was our target. With one game to spare, so we just got to enjoy this moment.
I am Samson Omala in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Thanks, Samson. And enjoy Tuesday's Nigeria-Argentina match in St. Petersburg. I know there's going to be lots and lots of excitement in St. Pete as the Super Eagles of Nigeria get ready to spread their wings and go up against Lionel Messi and Argentina. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. For more on the Nigeria-Argentina match, reporter Iron Mike Mbonye called Moscow, where he reached Nigeria's 1994 African Footballer of the Year, Emmanuel Amunike.
Well, I think my thing is that tomorrow's game is very important game. The Argentines need to win that game to continue in the World Cup. Why Nigeria, we need to just get draw. It was come to worst, because it's our objective. But I think the most important thing is not about what will be the outcome of the game. The important thing is how can we be able to manage the game tomorrow. We have played against Argentines in several times. Cannot afford to give us some necessary free kicks. We must defend as a team, and we must also be able to carry our play into them so that they can also realize that we have a threat. So it's very, very important game tomorrow, and both teams tomorrow have to be, no? Mostly Nigeria, we are the one that want to continue.
If you are the Nigerian coach, what kind of style will you adopt, and what kind of players are you going to use against Argentina, knowing that we need a draw to continue in the tournament?
Well, I think the players that are in the World Cup are there for because there is the merit to be there. But the most important thing is looking at the state mind of the players at a particular time, whose player is ready mentally to defend the challenges. Because tomorrow game is not all about us, like I said earlier, playing. The mental state of the players, how prepared are they? How psychologically are they to confront the game against Argentines tomorrow? The Argentines coming into the game, if they win, it's a very big result for them. If they lose, they know already they have nothing to lose. But of course, like I said, you know, the most important thing is for the players to work as a team, defend as a team, and also attack as a team. And we cannot afford to give unnecessary fouls in front of our head post. When Argentina have such an advantage, we know that they have a player like Messi that can easily convert such balls into goalposts. So what matters tomorrow is for we to defend as a team, play as a team, help one another. When we are defending, we must be able to help one another to defend as a team. And when we are also attacking, we must be able to attack as a team. And it's not about who scores tomorrow. When we have a opportunity to score, we must make the best out of it and do well.
West African countries so far, Nigeria and Senegal, are doing well in the ongoing World Cup. Is this an indication that the West African sub-region is the powerhouse of African football?
Well, it's not that West African is the powerhouse. I think the African teams, unfortunately for Morocco, fortunately for Egypt, I think those teams, they played very well. We look at their performance. Individually, collectively, they played very well. But unfortunately, in football, you see that scored. That always win. They were not able to score, and that's why they are heading home. But the Senegalese, I think they have been able to prove that they are the strongest team representing Africa. And Nigeria, thank God we won against Iceland. Then we have another opportunity tomorrow to consolidate our continuity and our continuous qualification towards the next stage. But it's a good thing that Nigeria and Senegal, they are there. At least they will give boost to the African team. Of course, it's also called that there is a lot we need to do. Because if five is in Africa and almost three is gone, and two is already there, I think it's not telling much good at African football. It means we have to do more. We have to prepare our team. But of course, we're happy that we have Senegal and Nigeria that are representing the African continent.
That's Emmanuel Amunike, Nigeria's 1994 African Footballer of the Year. Emmanuel is also a member of FIFA's 2018 World Cup Technical Study Group, and he was speaking from Moscow with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye. Iron Mike tells me that one of the duties that Emmanuel has over in Russia as a member of that technical study group is they evaluate the performances by the individual players at the World Cup. And at the end of the World Cup, it's FIFA's technical study group that will hand out various awards. For example, the Golden Boot and Golden Ball given to the most valuable player or best player at the World Cup. It's the technical study group that gives out those prizes. And speaking of prizes, the Group B prize is on the line later Monday night in Russia. We have two more World Cup matches coming up. Spain is going up against Morocco, and Iran is going to play Portugal. Let's take a look at the Group B standings. Spain and Portugal at the top with 4 points each from two matches. Iran has 3 points, and Morocco has been eliminated with no points. The Moroccans have had some tough luck in Russia. In fact, my friend Stephen Goff, the soccer writer for the Washington Post newspaper, says the Moroccans might have to win the award as the best team with no points. The best team with no points in Russia. Many thought they outplayed the Portuguese in their last match, but they went down to a 1-0 defeat. So coming up later Monday night, Spain is playing Morocco and Iran is taking on Portugal. And let's take a look at that Group D encounter between Nigeria and Argentina. The Croatians already through to their knockout round with that 3-0 clinical decimation of Argentina. Now, Nigeria will advance to the knockout round with a win over Argentina on Tuesday. And the Super Eagles likely will advance with a draw, although that isn't guaranteed. As for the two other squads, there's also hope. Iceland needs to beat Croatia and hope Nigeria loses to Argentina. Lots of permutations as these final group matches come to a close in Russia. And that wraps up the June 25th special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's a special World Cup edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
The governments of the United States, the United Kingdom, and Norway have called on all warring parties in Darfur to lay down their arms and work with international peacekeepers to achieve a permanent peace. In 2003, armed opposition in the Darfur region of Western Sudan began an insurrection against the government in Khartoum in protest against government policies that they claim discriminated against non-Arabic populations. The government sent troops to fight the uprising and also armed militias, the Janjaweed, to fight the rebels. But the Janjaweed were more interested in brutalizing the civilian population, resulting in a humanitarian crisis that left hundreds of thousands dead and 2 million people displaced. In 2007, a combined African Union United Nations hybrid operation in Darfur, or UNAMID, was deployed in Darfur to stabilize the region. Several ceasefire agreements were signed, as well as two peace agreements in 2006 and 2011. However, two of the major opposition groups, Justice and Equality Movement Jibril Ibrahim and the Sudan Liberation Army Abdul Wahid, or SLA-AW, refused to sign the agreement. SLA-AW has consistently rejected participation in any peace agreement, refused to declare any unilateral cessation of hostilities, and is engaged in confrontations with government forces. Hostilities began anew in March, and the government increased its troops and intensified the fighting. Finally, in mid-June, Sudanese government forces and the Sudan Liberation Movement Abdel Wahid clashed in central Darfur state, again forcing thousands of civilians to flee their villages. On June 19th, the governments of the United States, the United Kingdom, and Norway issued a written statement condemning the fighting, as well as intertribal violence in the Jebel Mara region of Darfur. The civilian population continues to bear the brunt of this unnecessary violence, which has led to the burning down of villages, causing high numbers of civilian injury and death, and the displacement of nearly 9,000 people, said the statement. There can be no military solution to the conflict in Darfur, and the international community should consider imposing sanctions against those who continue to act as spoilers. The three governments call on all parties to the conflict to immediately cease all military engagement and hostilities, allow unfettered humanitarian access, and to meaningfully engage with the African Union High-Level Implementation Panel-led peace process in order to reach a permanent ceasefire. The United States continues to engage all parties to the conflict to exercise restraint, engage in dialogue for a negotiated solution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports.
We will rock you.
Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, decentralized systems of governments in Africa. In Uganda, it's called decentralization. In Kenya, devolution. In Nigeria and Ethiopia, it's called federalism. The transfer of authority from central to local government on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks,
VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.